You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, today we are talking about strengthening our faith through apologetics once again. And today our subject, the questions don't make you weak. Doubt is not the enemy of faith. It's often the beginning of deeper understanding. And apologetics helps us to walk through those questions, not around them. God is not afraid of our uncertainty, and neither should we be. All right, so this is what we're talking about. And remember the conversation we just had a moment ago about doubt and faith and the way that the devil might use doubt to question our faith and to put questions about who God is in our lives. So we want to talk about all of this in light of that conversation as well. My elder, good morning and welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Morning, thanks. How are you?
Doing very well, and I hope that you're doing well as well.
Yes, thanks.
All right. So we're talking about questions and doubt when we are looking at our faith. What do you think, maybe let's start off with a personal question, maybe a question that you had about your own faith that you were once afraid to ask?
Okay. A question of, is it possible to live a sinless life?
Okay.
Yes. So, those are questions that, I personally was avoiding, thinking that you see, when you start asking those questions, it simply means that you're not serious in terms of your Christian life.
Right.
It should come. It should naturally come. But you see, with life, you begin to ask, how do I grow in grace? And then you begin to actually see the bigger picture, that it's not as simple as it is put across. When people would talk to you and tell you, once you accept Christ as your personal Savior, that's it.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Then you begin to appreciate the fact that, okay, there is growth in grace. Okay. The same way we plant a seed, and we look at the seed 3 days, 4 days, nothing is happening. Maybe a week later, you see that, there's something coming on. And then for that seed to grow, you probably want to put manure. You want to do those things. Yeah. Then you begin to understand, so even in my Christian life, for me to grow, I need to live in an environment or to create an environment where I'm going to nourish the seed to grow. And I need to be constantly in connection with God. So that over time, you get to appreciate that, you see, there is, okay, yes, accepted that we are saved by grace, which is justification. Then there's also another gift that comes, which is growing in grace, which is sanctification. So okay. Those are probably the issues that I would say in my life I battled with. And at this point, I'm okay. I can explain to someone how one can grow in grace.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, before we get into the next question, you remember that after our conversation yesterday, we had a question coming through that I wanted us to take a look at before getting into today's conversation. A listener asked on our WhatsApp line, someone says, apologetics by definition is the discipline of providing intellectual arguments in answering questions. How do we balance this with the biblical counsel to avoid arguments?
Okay, so as a child of God, there are certain things that we shouldn't mix. Huh? There is nothing wrong in responding to a question in an intelligent way. Nothing wrong. But at the same time, as a child of God, you should understand and realize that there are certain questions that may not be relevant or worthy for our time to answer. If you ask me, are you African? All right. I'll probably be thinking to myself, why are you asking me that question? Is it really of value? All right.
Okay.
But then if you came to ask me, yes, so why do you believe in the Sabbath? Then I'll tell you, I believe that the Saturday is the Sabbath. How do I believe that Saturday is the Sabbath? Then I'm going to take you back in the scripture. I'm going to tell you that which one is Good Friday. Okay, so Good Friday is the day that Christ died, right? Yes. He died on Good Friday. Then when did he resurrect? Then you're going to tell me he resurrected on Sunday, meaning that's Easter Sunday, right? Yes. So now between Friday and Sunday, which day comes there? That is, so that's the seventh day, which is the Sabbath to me, which is the Sabbath in Scripture according to the Gospel. So when I'm arguing or when I'm putting across those arguments, it's an intelligent discussion. I am not going to quarrel with you, and I'm not going to also gloss over the counsel that don't argue, don't get into unnecessary arguments with over questions that are not of value. Basically, that's how I would put it across.
And then who gets to decide what questions are of value or what arguments are of value and which ones are just frivolous for the sake of argument?
So, yeah, okay. So now that one is a very, very tricky one. For me, the first thing I do is, what is this question about? Is this a sincere question? So if someone is sincerely asking a question of whether it's of value or not, I'm going to take time to respond.
Okay.
But if a person, you know how the person is approaching you, they just want to pick up an argument.
Yes,
okay.
Right.
My daughter's you come to me and tell me that, you know, at school they say USDAs, what did pork do to you? Why don't you eat pork? Okay. So I keep telling them that don't worry about those questions. Those people can say what they want. There's no need for you to enter into an argument. One of my daughters had this experience. Then she responds in a very nasty way concerning someone else's belief, and the other person got offended. Then I'm telling them that, you see, it doesn't help. You as a ghost child, there's no need for you to put up an argument over pork, because you see, it's a pork is not salvific. You see, we don't eat pork. And you know, if someone says, why don't you eat pork, you can respond. But if someone wants to pick an argument over that, don't, just leave it. It won't bother you.
Right.
So for me, that's where I look at things.
Okay.
That's how I look at things.
Okay, that's interesting. So it's all about having that discernment, which can only come from the Holy Spirit, I suppose, about what arguments are worth.
Amen.
You can call them arguments. What is worth discussing?
Yes.
What are the things that are worth debating over? And what do we just say, you know what, it's fine, go ahead with what you want to believe? I used to have that that mindset for a lot of things. I feel like even things that maybe one would consider not necessarily frivolous, I just had this mindset that, you know what, just do what you want to do. Especially if I would hear, for example, an Adventist arguing about, where does the Bible say do not drink alcohol? The Bible never explicitly says that. And I would just be like, it's fine, go and drink. If that's what you want, go do what you want to do. I can't argue with you about this at this point. If you still want to have that argument, go ahead and do what you want to do.
Exactly. Just like you've just poked my mind, you know, because now you notice that there is this agenda that is coming even in our church, where people are saying there is nothing wrong in marrying more than one wife, you see?
Yeah.
So for me, if a church elder comes to talk to me about it, I'll just say, my friend, if you got the agenda to want to marry, go ahead and marry. You know, that's what you want, because you see, there's nothing I can do or say that will convince you otherwise.
Exactly. At that point, you're just like, you know what, you already know what you want to do. And even if I do come up with any scriptural reference, it's not going to help. You've already made up your mind. So, but I wonder sometimes, though, that is that how God would approach that? Is that how Jesus would approach that? Would he be that dismissive to say, go ahead and do what you want to do? Or does he expect me to do more? Does God actually want me to engage in the debate? And maybe I'm only away because I don't have the facts, and so I'd rather just avoid it altogether. I don't know.
No. If you read John chapter 4, the Bible says, and Christ, in avoiding an argument with the Pharisees, decided to take another route going into Galilee. All right? Now, the Bible tells us that Christ himself avoided argument. All right?
Mm-hmm.
With avoided arguments that were not beneficial. And when you look at Matthew chapter 23, you notice the language there that he is using. It is, yes, redemptive, but it's also dismissive, all right? What I'm saying is that he spends time with those that are desirous, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Of wanting to know the truth, of wanting to get to hear. When he is engaging with the Syrophoenician woman, look at how he is talking. First of all, he says, no, you know, you can't give food to dogs, all right? And you'll be thinking he is dismissive, but he's trying to gauge her faith. And then they go on discussing. Why? Because Christ would spend time with those who were in need and who needed his attention. The same thing with the Samaritan woman. He takes time to address her. Why? Because he sees the need in her.
Okay.
But for those who seemed antagonistic, you just say, okay, I'm moving on.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think that's okay. And maybe this is the argument we are pushing, or this is the agenda we are pushing on this platform about apologetics. Apologetics will not fear to enter into an intellectual debate, to convince someone that, look, why I believe in God, why I believe that God is three is because of this and this, all right?
Mm.
You shouldn't shy away from engaging and talking to people about your conviction and about your beliefs.
Mm.
But at the same time, there is no need for you to sweat over and start arguing and lose or cause someone to lose eternity because you wanted to prove a point. For me, I think that's not Christianity. Christianity is redemptive, it's loving, it's caring, it's giving people second chances and allowing them to ask you questions. And when you don't know, there's nothing wrong by saying, give me a bit of time, let me go and research over this subject, I'll get back to you.
All right. And is it possible that there are some things that will just continue to remain a mystery, or is every single question answered in the Word of God?
There are certain things that will remain a mystery. There are certain passages of Scripture that as a person I have read and I have consulted and I still don't understand them.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I go back to Deuteronomy. What is revealed to you is for you. What is not revealed to you is for God.
Okay.
And you know, there's no need for me to stress God or to stress myself over something that I don't understand.
Right.
All I want to do is to believe that, is God able to save me? Yes, he is. Is God loving enough to redeem me? Yes. And what is the agenda at the end of the day? God's agenda is that we should all be saved. According to John chapter 3, verse 16.
All right. So bottom line is, even when we get into any of these debates, or even if they end up as arguments, our aim is not to win an argument. Our aim is not for the people around to say, hey, this one has nice points. This one has got, you know,
exactly.
This one knows how to do this thing. But it's more about bringing people into at the very least, into the understanding of why we believe what we believe. Even if they end up not agreeing with us, but at least they have the understanding that, okay, it's because of this and that these people believe the way that they do. And I think that's good enough, at least for me. But you were talking about the fact that it's not about bringing down another person or for the other person to lose this argument. So how do we respond to skeptics and critics with conviction and also with compassion at the same time?
So when a person comes, there are skeptics who tell you that we've been waiting for Christ, okay?
Yeah.
From the time we were born up to now, Christ is what? He's not coming.
Mm.
You know, you don't begin to sweat, all right? You just say, look, each one of us at this point is convicted in terms of belief.
Mm-hmm.
I respect your belief. You should respect mine. Right? And for me, my belief is that because I respect your belief, I don't expect you to water down my beliefs, all right? Because
okay.
Even an atheist, for example, I'm not going to start telling them that, you came from the monkey. That's what you believe in. No. I think that for me, that's childish. Okay. That's very childish.
But that's what they believe. Uh-huh.
Even if they, yes, but I won't go that direction. All I'm going to tell them is that, look, as far as I'm concerned, the reason why I believe I was created in the image of God and I have not evolved is on the premises that I function like a human being, all right? I haven't seen any other creature that functions like me. And even if I may not be the smartest person in the world, I'm still unique. And that uniqueness tells me that this the designer, the creator of this kind of being is bigger than my imagination can stretch to. So the arguments would be, I'm talking about my belief. Okay, I'm not going to talk about. Let me just give an example. I'm a Man U fan. I'm a Man U fan.
I'm sorry.
I'm a Man U fan. So and I'm not going to go to Man City fans and tell them, look, you guys, you only have 10 league things, as we have 20. No,
yeah.
All right. I would say, look. Yeah, we're going through a bad patch, you know. One day we'll get there.
Right.
You see, just like you guys are going through, okay, not Man City. Let me talk about Liverpool. Who's won it? So this time it's Liverpool. You're going through a good patch, you know.
Yeah.
Next time it will be. So this, for me, that shows a bit of respect. You are arguing and you are putting across your thoughts on your convictions. Not on the other person's convictions, because I can't convince you otherwise on your conviction.
Right. I get you. All right. I must be very careful the way I speak about Manchester United, just in case my husband is listening. But when we continuing on with our conversation here. So you were talking about the fact that we don't have to be disrespectful in the way that we address other people's beliefs, even if what we're saying is actually based in the truth, what they believe, and, you know,
because
it goes to, it's very easy for them to turn it around and insult our own beliefs and even start to bring down God's name using things like I was talking about, how people call him your sky daddy and, you know, this invisible force. There's all these derogatory ways and descriptions that people have to talk about God. And they are basing it on the fact that, yes, we do believe that we have a God up in heaven. And they'll say, so it's kind of the same thing. It's that disrespect, that lack of respect when you're talking to people of a different belief system. Now, when it comes to humility, what role do you think it plays in both asking and answering questions about faith? And the reason I'm asking this is because I think we can have a general idea of how we answer questions in humility. But what about when it comes to asking, especially if I am a Christian, I am a Seventh-day Adventist, but I have questions and there are certain things that don't make sense to me. There are certain things I don't understand. How do I approach this with you, still with that humility, especially when you look at the fact that, you know, the different generations and how sometimes you'll find one generation saying this other generation is not realistic. They're just Ellen White thumpers. They don't believe in the Bible. They believe in Ellen White. You know, there's so many arguments that come about even within the same faith. So what role does humility play even when it comes to asking the questions in a respectful way?
So for example, we are going to have a GC, right?
Right.
Now, people would go to the GC and start asking questions, which they could have easily asked at their church.
Okay.
So for me, someone going to GC and then talking about, what about this, you know, why would you wait for the GC? Why not ask the questions to your local pastor,
okay,
to your local church elder? So so the model is actually Christ. When you look at Christ, he is talking to Pilate, huh? He knows he has the power, but he doesn't flex them. All right, he is still humble. He is talking to the disciples. He tells them who he is. All right, he then tells them, "You, since you know who I am, don't tell it to everyone." Okay, that's humility. The bottom line is that we can We can talk, we can ask questions in a way that is respecting the institution. I personally think that sometimes we are not humble enough as Adventists by throwing things on Facebook, by throwing things on social media, because I'm asking myself, why should we go to that extent? Why not sort out these issues in-house? There's no one who watches dirty learning in public, you know? But once you start doing that, you're not humble. You know, and for me as a person, I will not respond to such questions on social media, because once we start engaging, like people say, when you start engaging with a mad person and you are arguing, people won't know who between the two of you is mad. Yes. So the one who with discernment will keep quiet. The other person will be talking, and eventually people will start saying, the mad one is the one who's talking uncontrollable, because there's no response from the other party. Yeah. For me, humility has to do with what is it really? Is it affecting you really?
Yes.
Or you are trying to champion a cause that is not affecting you in any way, so that people can start saying no. Odangando talks a lot. Odangando can actually ask questions. No, because there are even times when during Bible study, you ask yourself, okay, that question, how come it's coming now? Okay, I'm interacting with this person on a regular basis and he's never asked this question. What are they trying to prove? So these are things that probably we need. So at the end of the day, for me, the issue, I like the subject matter, actually, Monkey. The subject matter that we should, that we're looking at, is that we as God's children should give a reason why we believe in what we believe, right?
Yeah.
That's number one. You see, I should not be apologetic in being a Seventh-day Adventist. I will not, and I'll not going to shy away from giving my convictions on those. But there's no need for me, okay, to start pestering, pushing agendas. You people who are not Sabbath keepers, you worship the mark of the beast. There's no need. There's no need to be antagonistic over these issues of religion. Because you see, religion, people kill over religion. And it's an emotional attachment. Just like I was talking about Manu and the others. You see, it's an emotional attachment. So you need to be very careful.
Yeah,
you need to be, to choose your words when you're talking to people when they are hating. So that you see, people would understand that this person is here for recovery or for restoration, not for hitting me or to cause me pain.
Yeah, yeah, sure. That's beautiful. And so, it, again, going back to your motive, is it about you? Is it about your ego being bruised? And you, it's like, no, you can't talk to me like that. It's no longer really about the truth or why you believe what you believe, but it's about myself and my ego and the way that I'm going to look if I lose this argument. Someone just sent a quote here from Socrates that says, when the debate is over, slander becomes the tool of the loser. I think that's a good one. That's really good.
That's true.
Now, as we're wrapping up, my elder, you were just talking about why Christians should be ready to give a defense for their faith, like we're told in 1 Peter chapter 3:15. What would you say is the reason? Why should I even be able to give that defense? Should it not just be like, you know, just believe what you want to believe? Why do I have to be ready to give defense?
So my take in life is that, you know, God says, come, let us reason together.
Right.
Yes, and I truly believe that of all religions, I'm not being sarcastic here, of all religions, Christianity is a thinking man's religion. It's God does not appeal to our emotion, all right? He appeals to our intellect. We respond to God on the basis of what he tells us, all right? Does it make sense, for example, to be a Christian? Yes, it does. Why does it make sense to be a Christian? If you ask me, I'll tell you that according to the Ten Commandments, there are two components in the Ten Commandments, okay? My relationship with God. And once I have a proper relationship with God, I'll have a proper relationship with you. What does that mean? It means that when I look at you and I see you, I see a sister, I see a child of God, okay? And at that point, the way I'm going to treat you is I'm going to treat you in such a way that I'm not going to rob you. I'm not going to cause you harm. I'm not going to slander you. That's the other component of what Christianity is all about. So when I'm asked, why are you a Christian? I should be able to say, I'm happy to be a Christian on the premises that as a citizen of two nations, a citizen of heaven, mm-hmm. I'm representing heaven here on earth. As a citizen of earth, I am going to live according to the dictates of heaven, which brings about harmony and peace and all the good things that are required of a human being when they live with each other. Mm-hmm. So those are arguments that personally I believe we cannot keep quiet over them. Mm-hmm. You can't be quiet over something that you know is good. If you got good grades, I actually forgot which team do you support? Let me just give. Let me probably start from there. Which team do you support? Which team do you support?
Me myself.
Uh-huh.
By default, I have to be Manchester United for the sake of peace in my family.
Okay, for the sake of peace and So now, what I'm saying is, when Man U were to win the cup they're in, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You will not keep quiet, okay? Mm-hmm. But you are not a soccer fan. But if you're a soccer fan, you will not keep quiet. If you're a Liverpool fan, you can't keep quiet after winning the league. Mm-hmm. You know, you are going to be everywhere talking about how they win, how a sense of belonging. So if you feel that, you see, the gospel makes a difference in your life. Mm. If you know that you are on the winning side, mm-hmm. you are going to share it with the people that you come across. Mm-hmm. And without frivolity, you are going to just say, look, this I'm on a winning side. Mm. Mm.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you, my elder. Thank you so much for coming through. We're going to be continuing on with this conversation. I look forward to connecting again tomorrow as we keep talking about apologetics, the doubts that might arise in our lives, in our faith journey. How do we address those? How do we address the skeptics and the critics out there? And how do we do that in a way that is most honoring and respectful of our God, of our beliefs and our faith? Thank you so much for your time, and God bless you.
Thanks, Bungie. Much appreciated.
All right.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.